From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Gemma Gaudette. This is Idaho Matters. When it comes to the agricultural industry, there are many different risks that come with the job, one of them being pesticide exposure. In a new study from Boise State University, researchers are looking at the impact of this exposure on the state's Latino farm workers. So joining us today to talk more about the study are Dr. Carly Hyland, Assistant Professor of Cooperative Extension, UC Berkeley Environmental Health Sciences, as well as UC Agriculture and Natural Resources, along with Dr. Rebecca Som Castellano, Professor of Sociology, as well as Interim Director of Human Environment Systems. I want to welcome both of you to the program.
Awesome. Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, happy to be here.
So what inspired this study?
Yeah, absolutely. I can start off and then I'd love to hear from Rebecca as well. So my background, this is Carly, and my background is in studying exposure to pesticides and health effects of pesticide exposure. And so I came to Boise State as a postdoctoral research scholar in 2021. And, you know, previous studies, including work led by Dr. Som Castellano and others in our research group, had documented really high levels of pesticide exposure among farm workers, and had also documented some unique experiences and challenge among women farm workers in particular. And so we were really interested in understanding, are there differences in levels of pesticide exposure between men and women farm workers? And if so, what's causing that? You know, are there differences in how men and women perceive the risk of pesticides or protective behaviors they're able to adopt? And this is really particularly important because women are an increasing proportion of the agricultural workforce, but most studies have really kind of focused exclusively on men. And so we were really interested in comparing both pesticide exposure and the experiences of men and women farm workers. And one other point of data that I'll point to is that studies in both the United States and worldwide have shown that women might be more likely to experience what's called an acute pesticide poisoning, so really high levels of pesticide exposure associated with immediate effects such as nausea, vomiting, et cetera. And so we were curious, does this also correspond with higher day-to-day levels of pesticide exposure? And if so, what's causing that?
So Rebecca, I would love to hear from you then about this study and why it was important to focus your study on this particular population.
Yeah, so I can build on some of what Carly was saying as well. Some of my colleagues and I have been working with farm workers and trying to understand some of the challenges that farm workers in our state face for many years. Dr. Lisa Miroto and I began in 2016, just doing very kind of ethnographic on the ground work, working alongside farm workers, really trying to understand some of those challenges. And we began to make a number of observations in that research, including that there seemed to be quite a lot of women working, which is not often who we understand to be as farm workers. We continued that work also with Dr. Cynthia Curl and did some work focused specifically on well-being, understanding challenges to well-being. And like Carly mentioned, one of the things that really started to emerge from that research is that farm workers were really concerned with pesticide exposure. And again, because we had been focusing on understanding more specifically the experiences of women farm workers, we started to hear that there were some maybe specific ways in which gender was shaping both concern with pesticide exposure and just kind of overall experiences with pesticides. And then, yeah, Carly came to join us. And so we were able to engage in this project that really digs deeply into concerns, perceptions of risk, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. So, Carly, in what ways are farm workers exposed to pesticides?
Yeah, absolutely. I think a lot of people think about pesticide exposure in agricultural work as just the people who are applying pesticides are exposed. Uh-huh. And we've seen in our work and consistently in all kinds of studies that, you know, there's a lot of ways in which people are exposed to pesticides. So even those who don't have a license to apply pesticides themselves, you know, are working in fields after pesticides have been applied, there can still be pesticide residues on the crops themselves. And another big pathway of exposure is pesticide drift. And so sometimes we kind of think, you know, pesticides are applied on a farm and they stay there, but we know that with many pesticides, that's not true, that they can drift to nearby both farms and houses and potentially expose people living in the area. And that was one really big area of concern that we heard from participants in our study, is that they are not notified often when pesticides are sprayed on a nearby farm. And we would hear reports from participants saying that they could smell and see pesticides from nearby farms and would like more information and more notification to know when those pesticides are being sprayed.
And Carly, are these impacts being exacerbated by other things? And what I mean by that is maybe things like, you know, someone's health, right? But housing, food insecurity, discrimination that I think a lot of our Latino farm workers face. Does any of that also play into how this impacts agricultural workers?
Absolutely. I really appreciate that question, because I think when you are looking at the health of farm workers in the United States, you really can't disentangle environmental, occupational, and psychosocial stressors. I think you have to look at the situation really holistically. So from an occupational standpoint, we know that farm workers are exposed to pesticides as well as other, you know, climate intensified hazards. We heard a lot of participants talking about impacts from heat and how that also interacts with pesticides. For example, a lot of participants would say that they would wear less protective equipment when it was really hot outside, which is understandable because that's a very immediate threat to their health, but also may offer less protection against pesticides then. And we also heard from participants that then they would go home and often didn't have air conditioning, and so really couldn't get any reprieve from the heat. And again, work from Rebecca and others in research groups has documented high levels of exposure to psychosocial stressors, such as food insecurity, even though farm workers are the ones growing the food that we all eat, poor housing conditions, lack of access to healthcare and health services, fear of discrimination. So often there is, you know, fear of speaking up to increase protection for themselves at the workplace. And yeah, I think all of these kind of environmental and psychosocial stressors interact to impact their health overall.
And Rebecca, I want to go back to something that you mentioned, which is gender. Because one of the things that has struck out to me by just having this conversation with the two of you today is I would have never thought that there were so many female agricultural workers. So with that said, how is then gender potentially impacting these perceptions of risk when we may not even recognize or realize how many women are doing this type of work?
Yeah, it's a really important point and an important point of our research, I think, being able to draw attention to the ways in which gender shapes experiences with pesticides. And one of the things in particular I would point to is that women remain predominantly responsible for what we might call domestic labor. So thinking about all the work that happens in a household, women are more likely to be responsible for caring for children. And really importantly, women are responsible for providing food for families, right? And so one of the things that we saw in this research is that women were more likely to wear personal protective equipment. This is one of the most important ways that farm workers can protect themselves from pesticide exposure. And some of the motivations for that increased usage of what we call PPE is because of that sense of responsibility to family and children. A few people in the interviews that we conducted spoke specifically about the need to go home and prepare food for their families and how this was a major motivator for them in protecting themselves. And so on the one hand, we can see how that gendered experience might motivate women farm workers to engage in some of those protective strategies. On the other hand, we can think about how gender actually puts women at greater risk in some instances and in some ways. In particular, one of the things that it's really important to think about is how the experience of farm workers is not even, right? So the experience on a farm can be very different based on different forms of marginalization, gender being just one of them. We also know that like the length of time that you've been on a farm, being able to access or know how to speak a language that's the dominant language, mm-hmm. right? So being able to speak in English, these create hierarchies on farms, and the lower on that hierarchy you are, the more likely you are to engage in work that potentially exposes you more. So for instance, you might be more likely to be weeding or engaging in different aspects of the crops that make you more likely to be exposed. So there's many ways that gender, as well as gender interacting with other forms of marginalization, shape your exposure.
And Rebecca, I believe your study found that more women actually reported having experienced acute pesticide poisoning, which Carly explained to us a little bit earlier. Do you have any idea of why this would have impacted women more than men in particular, when you just talked about maybe they are the ones who take more protective measures in regards to even the PPE, what they wear?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's part of the story. And then again, I think that part of that story is about these kind of multipliers in terms of forms of marginalization. So if you're more likely to experience an acute pesticide poisoning, that has somewhat to do with where you're located on the farm and when, the degree to which you are going to be informed about whether that is going to happen or not. And maybe the degree to which you're able to say, oh, no, I'm not comfortable with this situation and I'm leaving. I'd throw that to Carly, too, who might have something to add there.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think this is still such a huge remaining research question in both our study and others. One thing I will say that we found in our study is that anecdotally, a lot of participants who had reported an acute pesticide poisoning indicated that it happened when an airplane was airily spraying pesticides, either in the field where they were working or a nearby field. And that is absolutely never supposed to happen. There are not supposed to be farm workers in fields near aerial pesticide spraying. And so one hypothesis we had was that perhaps women are more likely to work on crops that are sprayed aerially and more likely than to be in the field during that time. We also hypothesized that perhaps women may be more likely to remember or report an acute pesticide poisoning due to the severity of the impacts. So for example, one woman in our study did actually report suffering a miscarriage as a result of an acute pesticide poisoning. And so that participant is probably really likely to remember and report to us that she had experienced that.
Before I let the two of you go, what impact do you both hope this research will have?
Absolutely. I think one of my overall goals is to increase the visibility of farm workers. I think they are such an essential workforce. And, you know, we heard during COVID that they're an essential workforce. And we hear over and over again that they still feel very dispensable, that they haven't, you know, received the resources that they need to live healthy lives, and they provide the food that we all eat. And so I think, you know, increasing the visibility of this workforce, as well as I'm kind of interested now in looking at interconnections in climate intensified exposures more broadly. So kind of looking at the impacts of pesticides and heat and wildfire smoke, and trying to identify ways that we can minimize those exposures and potential adverse health effects.
Yeah, and I would just similarly add that I think this is a population that's often invisible, both physically invisible, because so much of the work happens in rural places, because of those forms of marginalization they're experiencing, they're invisible, sometimes isolated. And to be able to highlight the important role that they're playing in society and to shed light on their voices and experiences so that we can all have a deeper understanding of those challenges is really important, because they do work that we all benefit from.
I want to thank both of you so much for taking time today. Such an interesting conversation and really good information for all of us to have. So thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you know you are physically adapting to all your swiping, scrolling, and tapping?
We're changing our bodies and what they're able to do through our habits.
NPR's Body Electric, a special interactive series investigating how to fix the relationship between our tech and our health. Listen in the TED Radio Hour feed wherever you get your podcasts.